Timmel debated a couple of items about tourism last week. The Enterprise Minister brought a report to Timmel on the possibility of introducing a tourism levy after being asked to do so by Timmel. The report was received, though not without some criticism, from Onchan MHK Rob Collister. There was then a motion from Manx National Heritage on the sale of the old Castletown Police Station, with the cash-strapped heritage organisation unable to find a sustainable long-term use for the building. Jason Moorhouse led a valiant attempt to oppose the police station sale.
Your King Canute moment with regards to the Manx National Heritage sale of the old police station in Castletown. You had loads of questions down on this, but ultimately you weren't able to persuade members against about the folly of this enterprise.
That's it. That's the problem of actually having a Cobin block vote and having Enterprise as one of the largest departments, that when their members actually all vote together, it becomes almost impossible to actually stop something from happening. In terms of the old police station Castletown, I did feel it was being rushed in the final stages, though we've had kind of 8 years of drift and we've not really had that clarity in terms of a clear advert going out to the country, to the business out there to say, this is an opportunity, are you interested in renting this building? We've had expressions of interest at one point, but that contrasts sharply with what happened with the Barker's building, where we had two very clear, very definite processes where the building was to be rented out if the tenants were available. And it's interesting that over the same period of the last 2 years, nothing at all has happened with the old police station, whereas with the Barker's building, there's been that proactivity. And one of the most interesting questions from my perspective yesterday was reflecting on the Costa Coffee building and how just over 10 years ago, that was worth £80,000. It's now worth £310,000. And over that period, Manx National Heritage have got a rent of over £250,000. And I was saying this is the sort of thing that should have been happening with the old police station, and there just wasn't the will. But it was frustrating when you saw people who'd kind of been so proactive and so pushing several years ago for this to stay within the national ownership to actually sit within Comin and vote accordingly. But I gave it my best shot, and hopefully something really positive and good will happen with the old police station, because ultimately that's the key thing.
I mean, part of the problem, though, for Manx National Heritage seems to be that they aren't getting the support that they need from government just to maintain the most important historical buildings that they own, let alone any later additions. You know, the castle, they're struggling to maintain the castle. You go to Craignace and it's pretty evident that they're struggling there to maintain the properties there as well. They simply haven't got the money to have yet another building and try and come up with a scheme for it.
That is very true, but at the same time, you've got to look at Manx National Heritage's record of actually coming to Treasury to use the operators that are available to get that support. And one of the questions asked yesterday was, what has happened in the last 5 years? And it was really disappointing in terms of the number of bids that are being brought forward, the number of applicants for loans that are being brought forward, the way in which the application for funding for the Nautical Museum, it came once. They didn't listen to the recommendations and come back again with an alternative proposal. So it was frustrating that we actually had a body that could potentially have done more that seemed to fall at the first hurdle. So I do hope that Manx National Heritage do kind of consider the options and in the future more proactive in terms of going forward for government loans, going forward for government money to actually ensure that these buildings are kept in a pristine condition, because at the moment there are issues.
Do you have the opportunity to speak to Manx National Heritage on a reasonably regular basis?
I did, and we met quite frequently. I think it came to a slight halt in December 2024, when we had a very succinct conversation about what had gone on at the old police station in Castletown, and the way in which the actions of certain individuals, from my perspective, hadn't been as they should. And since that conversation, we haven't had as many meetings as we perhaps could have done, but hopefully that's not something that is going to stop us going forward. You know, I've asked to meet them, and hopefully we'll get the chance to meet and talk going forward, because that's important.
So this is not a fresh issue to you, this sale of the police station. This is something you've been working on for, well, by the sounds of things, at least 2 years, maybe more.
Oh, definitely. Right from 8 years ago, I thought, you know, it should be in the hands of the nation and stay that way, you know, ensuring that Home Affairs got the money required, ensuring that things like Kingswood Grove were considered, right through to when there was the expressions of interest, making sure that potential people went forward and carried out the became part of the process. And, you know, when that came to a grinding halt, it was just so frustrating, because it should have been retrievable. And then when we had the meeting at the castle in December 2024, it just seemed to sum up the whole problems with Manx National Heritage and the issues that need to be resolved, and they still need to be resolved.
That was Arbury, Castletown and Maloo MHK Jason Moorhouse. Sarah Maltby is the political member for M&H.
You brought the motion to Tynwald because Tynwald has to give approval for the disposal of any Manx National Heritage, or Manx Museum and National Trust, as the formal term, any of their assets. Why has it come to this?
So this has gone on now for a number of years. In fact, it goes right back to 2018, when the Department of Home Affairs was first seeking permission to sell the property. And I've been a trustee now for a little over a year, perhaps. And so I was asked if I could bring it forward to the Tynwald to ask for that disposal, and that's what I've done today. But yeah, it has been a long old process, and the executive board and trustees have really looked at all the options. There was suggestion that they haven't done enough, they haven't worked hard enough. I would dispute that, and Mr. Moorhouse is very vocal on his views on that, which he's perfectly entitled to be. He has been invited to meetings, he has been invited to view the old police station as well on multiple occasions, and I don't believe those invitations have ever been accepted.
Well, interestingly, I asked Mr. Moorhouse that question. I said, you know, do you meet with Manx National Heritage? And he said since a couple of years ago that the opportunities haven't been available.
I would dispute that.
Okay. So then, in relation to the police station, what things have Manx National Heritage tried?
So there was they entered into, hopefully, a tenancy agreement a few years ago. Unfortunately, after a really prolonged period of time, backwards and forwards, lots of negotiations and looking at different options, it just didn't work out in the end. So that tenancy, unfortunately, didn't work out. The trustees at the time then went to be back to the old police station to look at it, reassess, decide what the next step should be. And at that point, it was decided that there was an ongoing liability with the police station that the charity cannot sustain, and we're at this position where it was asked for disposal. As I said, this has been a very long process. This hasn't been a decision that's been arrived at lightly. All options have been considered. There was a suggestion by one of the honourable members around, well, why haven't you not advertised to sell the property? Well, we can't advertise to sell a property if we haven't got Tynwald's approval in order to do so. So that would have been predetermining a Tynwald decision, which is not something that the trustees or the executive board would have pursued.
In relation then to Manx National Heritage and funding, because I mean, I think most people still think that if Manx National Heritage own a building, they're going to look after it properly, they're going to make sure that it's properly maintained and that it is preserved for the nation for the future. That doesn't seem to be the case anymore.
It has certainly been maintained and it's been looked after within the in-house maintenance team have done what they have to do to make sure that the property is obviously looked after and in this period of time that we've been custodians for it. However, there has come a point where it needs to have that investment made into it now, and it was decision day. Do we approach Treasury and ask for another loan to say we need this loan to be able to make that investment, and we also need an increase in the grant for the maintenance of that property, or do we sell it to a private investment? And that's the decision that's been made today.
Because, of course, there's, you know, M&H has a vast, well, certainly a large portfolio of really important historic buildings. And it would appear, at least, that you're struggling to manage to maintain all of those buildings. You know, even important buildings like the castle and the thatched cottages at Craignaish. It's a real struggle, it would appear, at the moment.
Yeah, the grant doesn't cover not even close to what is required, and the capital loan repayments are significant. You know, most of that, 31% of that grant that we receive actually goes straight back to Treasury in grant in loan repayment. So actually, we don't fully get that grant in order to be able to invest in the properties that we are statutorily responsible for maintaining. So we do rely on donations, we rely on legacies, we rely on people visiting the sites, the retail offering. We do rely on people actually stepping forward and saying, heritage matters to me, and I'm going to show that it matters to me by visiting the sites or being able to make that donation, which is obviously very greatly gratefully received. And it is to supplement what the grant is provided by government. However, as I've just stated, it isn't enough. Too often I feel I've sat in this in the Tynwald Chamber and got the support of all honourable members in relation to footpaths, for example, now heritage, and people have backed me, but the funding never really appears alongside of that. So it is a very difficult balance to reach. I understand Treasury has a huge complex job to try and manage all expectations. However, I think there was another call there from honourable members for the funding grant situation to maybe be reviewed, and I'll leave that with Treasury, and hopefully that's sunk in with them.
That was Douglas South MHK Sarah Maltby. Enterprise Minister Tim Johnson brought a report to Tynwald on a suggested tourism levy.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's been a little bit frustrating hearing some of the messaging that's been going out and about, really, because, yeah, it was last July, you know, there was a motion and we were tasked with going away and considering the possibilities of a levy and in consulting with the sector. And I think that's the key about this. This is all about saying, you know, the visit agency, not forgetting the fact that, of course, that the board members, that they're within the sector anyway, and then going out engaging. I think about 700 separate entities were offered to be involved in the consultation. I think we had over 100 responses. Plus, then there was some face to face meetings, about 40 people. So it's a good start. I think it's important at this stage to make it very clear that we're not looking at bringing a levy in. This administration is not. There's no plan. But it is important that we talk about it and we talk with the sector and we look at the pros and cons, and there are pros and cons to it. And of course, the whole point of a levy, you know, or a tourist tax, etc., it means different things in different places for different reasons. So we need to also understand that as well. I think what the report does talk about is the fact that in many parts of the world, it is often used as a tool to discourage tourism, or where there's over tourism, where damages cause the ability to raise funds to be able to counter that. That is not the situation here. It's not the situation in the UK where a lot of these levies have been brought in. It's also about raising funds. It's about making sure, certainly from our point of view, what we would want to see is that funding reinvested in the tourist sector on the island to improve our facilities, improve our infrastructure, and therefore to increase our footfall. It's that circular plan, that's what it's all about.
And it is fair to say that you have critics. One of the critics voted against this the levy. Rob Collister recently called for a tourism department. And of course, the issue, I guess, that your Visit Isle of Man team has is a relatively small budget, and no obvious sign of a big increase in that budget. Presumably something like a tourism tax would be able to assist in terms of marketing the island and potentially growing the number of tourists that come.
I think that's why it is worthy of consideration. That's why it's important to sit down with the sector, understand what it is broadly, what it can be used for, what are the unique challenges we have on the island that it might be able to address, and take everybody on that journey. That's what we should be doing. So from my point of view, that to me is sort of the next stage. I mean, I think the consultation we've had up till now, it was a good starting point, but I think, you know, it's only a starting point.
And I mean, you said that it's not going to happen during this administration. Is it something that you would imagine will be picked up by the next administration?
Well, certainly visit agency are going to carry on working on this. So I think the important thing is that that's important they do that, so that the next administration has something to pick up and look at. It'll be for them to decide. But again, this shouldn't be a political decision as such. The whole point of having the visit agency and the agency model and having those individuals sitting on the board who are in the sectors is they're the ones who are understanding it and making the decisions and talking to their colleagues in the wider sector and getting the feedback. If they collectively feel that this is something that it's good to think about, then that's the way to take it forward. This is not a political decision. This has got to be a much broader buy-in than that.
But there is, a political element to this in that it is fair to say that since the 2008 VAT hit, most of the infrastructure that the tourist sector relies on has struggled to see sufficient investment. So, you know, certainly Manx National Heritage properties certainly could do with a lot of investment. There are several areas, I mean, even the likes of the sea terminal could probably do with a bit more investment to make it, to bring it up to a better standard. And at the moment, there doesn't seem to be a huge amount of money available for it within government to afford to pay for these things.
No, and that's a perpetual challenge. I think I accept that. And I think, you know, there's always going to be that competition for resources. Obviously, visit agency come forward every year with ideas and plans for budgets, and as all the agencies do, as all the other departments do, and it is always a challenge. What they have done, which is important, is you've got to have that plan in place, so that visitor strategy is in place. That's quite clear. We are seeing increased spend on Ireland, in real terms, well above what we were expecting, actually, which is positive. So, you know, getting that all-Ireland spend is important. But you're right. The political side of that is, well, where does that funding come from? This is certainly one option of doing that. I don't think that in itself is never going to be enough. We are going to have to look at other ways as well. And I think it is important that when we look at the broader economy and we look at some of the challenges we have at the moment, and this is not just the island, this is everywhere, you know, our visitor economy is something that's very important and has the opportunity to grow. So for me, what the visit agency needs to do and is doing is it's always putting that business case forward to say, this is what we can do with increased investment. Look what we can do for our tourist sector. Look what we can do for our broader economy and for the benefit of the island. And I think, to me, that's now building the head of steam. They're building back again. And I think they're going to be more and more important as the years go on.
And there are some positive signs in relation to the tourist sector.
Absolutely. You know, we've seen, as I say, we've seen about 5% growth in visitor numbers since pre-COVID. It's been a challenging period. We recognise that. But we have seen, I think 27% increase in real terms spend, which is, you know, tens of millions of pounds increase, which is really positive to see. So, you know, we are making progress. We are seeing investment going on Ireland in hotels and beds. We've seen resurgence of the TT of 50,000 visitors in 2025. So these are all really positive things. And so I'm very confident about the future of tourism on the island. But I'm not complacent. I recognise there's a lot of investment we need to do. I think the visit agency are doing a good job in engaging with the sector. They're the ones that at the end of the day are running the businesses. We're there to support them where we can.
That was Aaron Michael, MHK, Tim Johnston. Finally, Rob Collister was concerned about the possible tourism levy.
You led a mini rebellion against the receiving. I mean, it was only receiving a report from the Department for Enterprise in relation to a report that Tim Wald had asked for about a levy, a tourism levy. What was the problem with that?
Well, I think firstly, the report, what did the report actually tell us? Because the report highlighted areas in Europe that have tens of millions of visitors, and most of the locations in that report was actually trying to reduce numbers, where here on the Isle of Man, we're desperately trying to increase numbers and to actually go out to the public, go out to hoteliers, hardworking hoteliers, go out to our visitors to sort of say, in the future, there may be a tourism levy. It just doesn't make sense. The timing of it just did not make sense. And I've spoke to hoteliers before this debate and the original debate that Laurie Hooper brought. And to me, each time they're saying, let's get the basics right. You know, in 2024, we only had 329,000 visitors to our island, and only 38% of those were here for a holiday. So our hotels are not full. And if you remember that original debate, we had the DfE minister stand up and accuse me of scaremongering when he said that our hotels are full and the member for Onchan got it wrong. That's what he said. And then I put down a written question, and the written question clearly showed us that in July and August in 2024, we were getting only 60% full occupancy at the height of our season.
So from what I understand, the visit agency, it has been looking at a way in which it could create perhaps a booking system, which would then mean that a levy could be placed as part of that, a kind of a booking fee, and that fee could then go to pay for things that are woefully needed in terms of attracting more tourists to the island, improving the facilities on the island. Clearly, government doesn't have large pots of money waiting to spend on tourism. Surely this levy, if introduced in the right way, would help.
Well, as I said back in July 2025, when this item was first discussed, I reckon a tourism levy today would only create around £730,000. It's a great amount of money, and as you're absolutely right, if it's put in the right place, it really could improve our transport, public spaces, our heritage site, our infrastructure, and actually get our visitors to pay a small contribution to improving the services for people, not just off the Isle of Man, but also for our visitors. So I'm not against the principle, I'm against the timing. And I go back to what I said on the Man in Line just a couple of weeks ago, when I still genuinely believe that the Isle of Man should look at setting up a designated tourism department once again in order to drive our visitor economy. Then in the future, when things are starting to settle down, we're starting to see those shoots of growth, then we can look at that booking system. Because I think the idea of this booking system actually could work. Because if you're paying, you know, 15 to 20% to booking.com to book a hotel, why not find a mechanism where the Isle of Man government could put a platform together where we go out and promote it, we sell it, and people buy with confidence, but the actual hotelier or the business gets that 20% in their back pocket. That, to me, does seem to work. It'll take a lot of marketing, a lot of hard work behind the scenes, but I think the hoteliers would actually see the benefit of that if they're not having to pay a third party 20%, which then goes off island, where we can actually secure those funds on island and then spend in the right areas to improve our visitor attractions.
So to a certain extent, you're making the case for what was in the report, but this is just about timing. Is that your only real concern about it?
I think it's absolutely timing, and I don't think there was anything in that report. It just said, you know, the report is received, and all it was kept doing was saying, you know, Barcelona has 10 million, Amsterdam has 10 million, and this country has 10 million. We're not in the millions of visitors. So what I'm actually saying is, The levy, I'm not too sure about. The booking system, fully support. But I just think if we are going to introduce a levy, it has to be at the right time and when the industry is asking us to do it, especially if we can improve the attractions for everybody, because that also benefits locals as well as our visitors.
I mean, you're suggesting there as well about a department for tourism, a standalone department for tourism. Surely all that really needs to happen is government needs to decide that tourism is important enough to properly fund the visit agency in the Department for Enterprise.
No, I think there's other elements of this. When this was disbanded, I think it was around about 2012, bits went everywhere. You know, some went into DOI, some went into education, some went into DfE. What I'm saying is we need to put them all back into the same basket again and start to drive our visitor economy. For example, education runs the Villa and the Gaiety. The question is why? We have our transport links in DOI. Again, you have to question why. And then we have our visitor agency sitting within DfE. DfE's job is to drive the economy. Now, tourism is maybe just one small element of that, but the problem is they're not joined up. We also have our airports and we have our ferry terminal. They're all over the place. What I'm saying is we should have one designated department in order to drive our visitor economy.
That was Onkin MHK Rob Collister. So what do you think? Could a tourism levy work and bring much needed investment into our tourist sector? Are you concerned that Manx National Heritage doesn't seem to be able to get the funding it needs to properly maintain our heritage buildings? Let me know your thoughts on the programme by contacting Phil Gorn at manxradio.com, and please get in touch if you have any ideas for future shows. Don't forget this programme is available as a podcast. For now, I'm Phil Gorn. Gunnar Myers and Geisachrum. Thanks for listening.